11. Now, I'm not going to preach there, but I just want you to do that. lest you feel like that we're forsaking it. I will refer to Hebrews chapter 11 because I'm dealing with Abraham tonight. You know, about 3 months ago, I got an old Puritan book and I got to studying Abraham. And the Lord gave me about 5 messages out of the life of Abraham, and He gave me one on Lot. I preached it at our church here 2 or 3 weeks ago on living the Lot lifestyle. We have a whole lot of people living the Lot lifestyle. Just kind of give you an idea what that was about. Abraham comes up out of Ur of Chaldees. Lot went with him. He goes down to Egypt. Lot went with him. He comes up out of Egypt. Lot went with him. Lot's spirituality was based upon Abraham. Abraham was following God. Lot was following Abraham. But when Abraham got to the place at Bethel, coming out of Egypt, built the altar and started calling on the name of God, that's when him and Lot separated. Abraham got too spiritual for him. And let me tell you, your spirituality will come out sooner or later depending on who you're hanging around with. And when he got down at Sodom, he fit in down there pretty well, even though he vexed his righteous soul. And so the Lord gave me this message. I've never preached anything I preach here or either one of these messages. So if it's a bum deal, blame it on that Puritan preacher, because I got the idea from him. But it was good. It was really good if I could preach it. The book of Romans, chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4, and I'll try not to be long-winded tonight. Verse number 1, let's everyone stand as we read the Word of God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Boy, here's a great phrase. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's from Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. For the promise, verse number 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. But the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now here's my text. He staggered not at the promise of God. Notice that great statement. Here's a promise now. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. Father, bless the word of God now as we try to preach. Lord, help us one more time. Lord, tonight's the only night we need you. We may not need you tomorrow because we may be in heaven. So Lord, help us tonight as we try to preach the Word of God. Thank you for every message. Lord, I feel unworthy to be up here tonight, but I sure would like to do my best for you. And if you'll help me, Lord, I'll try to be as yielded as I know how to the Holy Ghost of God. Speak, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read that verse number 20 again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want to preach on this tonight. Don't lose your balance. Don't lose your balance. He staggered not. Now, normally, when we use, or when you read that text in the Bible, it refers basically to somebody that's drunk. And I want to give you a few verses on that, if you don't mind. Back in Job chapter number 12, if you'll turn there, if you'll turn to a couple of verses with me here, I'll try to get into preaching as fast as I can. Job chapter number 12, and I believe it's verse number 25, he made this statement. He said, they grope, talking about the people of God, the chief of the people of God, he said, they grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunk man. I think everybody can understand that illustration there. He makes them to stagger like a drunk man. The book of Psalms, chapter number 107 and verse number 27, Psalms 107 and verse number 27, he said, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Again, the word stagger is used with somebody that's drunken. They're on alcohol. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 19, I'll get you a couple out of Isaiah and then I'll preach here a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 19, and again, it has the same reference here as our other two texts have had. Chapter 19 and verse number 14, if I can find it. Verse number 14 said, the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. He's getting pretty, plain about a drunken man. And then over in chapter, I'll just give you this, I could give you some more, but in chapter 29 and verse number 9, he said, now this is a prophecy concerning Israel, he said, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine, they stagger, but not with strong drink. And there he's talking about the judgment of God, but he's likening it unto somebody that staggers when they're drunk. And so when I looked up the word stagger, it has this idea of somebody that's losing their balance. They're stumbling. They can't walk a straight line. I think if you ever saw somebody drinking, I saw a policeman stop a man one time, and he had to put his finger on this way and get on the white line, and he wanted to walk the white line. And this guy was a staggering back, and he'd get on the line, he'd stagger this way, and he never could walk a straight line. You ever seen people that claim to be saved can't walk a straight line? They're constantly they're out of balance in their life. It has the thought of they're hesitant, or they're unbalanced in their walk, and they're intoxicated with something, but not God. And here God said about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't lose his balance. Some hard things come to Abraham in his life, but he kept on for God. He didn't get sidetracked. He didn't get out of the way. And I've learned this about the ministry and about preaching the Word of God. You'll see a lot of preachers in their preaching lose balance. I mention a few of them here if you don't mind. They become legalistic in their preaching. They're critical of everyone that's not like them. You ever seen preachers like that? They're the only ones that they think are straight. They're critical or judge every church that's not like their church. They're out of balance. They're out of balance. They've got unbalanced in some stuff. Now listen to this. All matters are measured by whether they agree with you or not. And if they don't agree with you, you are the one that's wrong. You ever see people like that? Doesn't that? You can have 100 things and agree with them on 99, and if you disagree with them on one, you're a heretic. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Their standard is them. Amen. Their standard is them. Their measuring stick is themselves. They measure everything by themselves. If your church is not doing this, you're not as spiritual as their church. And I'll tell you, friends, we got enough going on in this world that we have enough to judge our own churches without trying to judge somebody else's church. Now, Abraham hasn't lost his balance. Many, many a time he could have lost his balance. Abraham was confronted with things. Let me mention, this is not what we'll preach on, but I just throwing this out to you. There's four great things mentioned about Abraham. There was a covenant that was given to Abraham. Now this covenant was the blessings of God. God said, I bless you. I bless you in seed. I bless you in nation. I'll make kings and rulers come out of you. And I want to tell you something. If you don't watch yourself, sometimes when God blesses you, you'll lose your balance. You'll think that you're something special. And you'll start thinking more highly of yourself. And you'll get this old attitude, well, I tell you one thing, God's a lot better to me than he is them. And you'll get out of balance if you don't watch. And you'll be thinking that it's your spirituality that are causing the blessings of God. Our blessings come from God. They don't come because we deserve them. If they came for that reason, none of us would be blessed. Abraham had a covenant. He had a child promised to him. Man, and I'll touch on that a little bit here in a few minutes. He had a country given to him. And I'll touch on the other one here in a few minutes. He had a cross that he had to bear. And he never did get out of balance on any of them. And so I want to preach a little while on that thought. Now let me say that first of all, now boy, this can throw you for a rigger if you don't watch. He was called to go out into an unknown place. Now here's how you stagger. Let me show you how you'll lose your balance if you don't watch. You'll start questioning God why he is sending you there. Why do you want me to go there? We got preachers in Somerset that can't preach anywhere in the world but in Somerset. I know some preachers that's pastored 12 churches in our county. They don't want to move. Amen. I don't want to move, but I have. Brother Dean, my life's been like a zigzag. Amen. Any of you preachers had to sell your furniture to move? Any of you had to, get rid of everything? You know, I went off to Bible college. I packed everything I had in a 56 Ford Fairlane and had room in the back seat left over. Went to a place I'd never been before. pulled into a city. I didn't even have a house to live in. I'd never been there before. Didn't have a job. Hey man, y'all listening here? If you don't watch when God puts his hand upon you and says, I want you to go there, you'll stagger at it. You'll lose your balance. And you'll say, well, God, I'm not going there. If I go there, I'll have to move my family. I'll have to pick up and leave. And I will tell you, the Bible said that when God called Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went. He dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He went out. He didn't stagger at it. And now let me tell you something. You better not get tied down to this world because you're going to leave it. You're going to move out one of these days. And I want to tell you, God showed Abraham a country. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. For they look for a city that hath foundations and builder in God. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they left, they might have had opportunity to return. But they desire a better country. Wherefore, God's not ashamed to call them his brethren. He didn't stagger at that. Now, some of you here tonight could do something for God. If you could get out of your comfort zone and let God lead you. It's hard. I got children. It's hard when my children start leaving the nest. I thought they ought to stay with me the rest of their life. Now I'm glad they didn't. I told my son-in-law, I said, don't you get up there and fall off one of them buildings, kill yourself, because my daughter will have to come back. We're liking it pretty good with her out of the house. Just bring the grandkids over every now and then. Amen. But let me tell you, some people can't ever get out of their comfort zone. If God hasn't got it all laid out there, here and here and here and here, they'll never do anything for God. And I want to tell you, every preacher in here, God has moved us around. He's moved us around to get us saved. I didn't get saved in Kentucky. I got saved in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey man, I'm not knocking it, but I sure not going to move there unless God moves me. I'm going to let Dean take care of it. They chase you up there when you get on the highways. Everybody's chasing you. Chasing you. Amen. Abraham didn't stagger. He didn't lose his balance. He didn't stumble. Because he was going out into something that's unknown. The scariest thing in the world is to go branch out into something that's unknown. Y'all understand that? Hard to get out there. I'm at a church that I didn't even know all the things that were there. And God hid them from me. And I'm glad he did. Because if I'd have got to looking at circumstances, I'd be somewhere out of the will of God right now. Are you understanding what I'm preaching tonight? He didn't lose his balance. Some of you, God will put you in a church, and if it's not perfect, you start looking for another one. And please don't join it. Amen. But please don't join it because it'll become imperfect too. You get somebody's preaching this old black back book and standing for it, stick with it. Stand for it. Hey man, there's not too many people preaching this old black back book like we are at this meeting. You've heard this book preached without apology. God came down and said, Abraham, I've got a place out yonder for you. I want you to pick your family up, leave. And he left And he asked no questions. He didn't stagger at an unknown place. Now, he didn't stagger at an unusual promise. God came to him one day and said, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child." The only problem with that is he's about 100 years old. And his wife is 99 years of age. And her womb is dried up. Y'all remember the story, don't you? "Look up yonder, Abraham. See the stars? See if you can count them. I'm going to give you so many seed that they'll be as the stars in the sky, innumerable." That's in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. See, I told you I was getting that in there somewhere. Hebrews chapter 11. I just count the stars. Hey, I tell you what you do. If you think that you can count them, go out yonder by the seashore and get you a handful of sand and start counting them, and get you another handful and start counting them. And if you have the ability to number the sand upon the seashore, that's how numerous your seed will be. Now, don't knock that, because he's got physical seed and he's got spiritual seed. Amen. A lot of people don't know that he's got a physical side. There's a group of Abraham's seed that are not of the promise. The promise seed is by faith, not natural birth. It was not by keeping the law, because he made that clear here. Because if Abraham were justified by the law, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. He's talking about a spiritual seed. I don't know how many Christians there are in the world, but there's a bunch of them. It'll be when heaven unveils itself, there'll be 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Amen. Can you imagine all the little innocent children that'll be in heaven? I believe just from America alone, we'll have over 44 million there. If you don't understand what I'm preaching about, you ought to. Close to 44 million little babies aborted. I believe they'll be there. Amen. They might be running up down the streets of gold. I believe those are covered under the covenant of grace and by the blood of Jesus. Don't you believe that? David said, "I can't bring my baby back, but I'm going to him." And I believe David's in heaven. And that's beside, man, can you think of all the mentally people that have mental issues that can't comprehend? They'll be there, I believe. And then all of the redeemed of the Lord throughout the endless ages of time and every generation, wherever there is Christ's name and people have come to Jesus Christ, these are Abraham's seed. But it didn't start out that way. It started out by an old woman and an old man that was past seed bearing. So that when Sarah brought that little baby and called him Isaac, it was a miracle. Only the power of God, only the power of God could account for that. And God came and told him, he said, "All right, Lord." Now, Sarah laughed a little bit. Hey, man, she's the woman, you know. She knows her condition. She's dead. Her womb is dead. You know, old sinners are dead. They're dead. They can't produce nothing. We get up here and tell an old sinner that he can get saved. If they don't watch, they'll stagger that and stagger into hell. But Abraham, the Bible said, staggered not. Didn't lose his balance. "Oh, Lord, not me. How many of y'all have said that before? God, I want you to do this. You say, oh, not me. Get in there and help that preacher. Oh, not me. I said that a long time. God got to calling me to preach, and I stepped back and said, not me, Lord. I could never do that. Here I am tonight. Yeah, I may be doing a poor job, but here I am. And when it came to pass, it wasn't me that did it. Hey, man, if you don't watch, you'll stagger over what God wants to do for you. He wanted to bless them with a seed that would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Now, don't get caught up on Isaac. Because Paul, when he got to writing about his seed, he said to seed, not seeds, plural. And he said that seed was Christ. I believe that God in his foreknowledge, Brother Stewart, and his infinite wisdom knew who the seed was. Because his son was the foreordained seed from the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise God. This world was on the mind of God before he ever was made. He's making provision for it. He didn't stagger at it. Now, let me say this. He didn't stagger at an unheard of practice. Never did God require anybody to kill his child. That was an unknown practice except among heathen. Never was that known among God's children. Never was that practice known. The heathen would sacrifice their little children in the fires to try to appease an unknown God, a false God, an idol God. But one day God said, Abraham, you see this seed that I have given you? I made a promise to you. I want you to take him upon one of the mountains of Moriah, and I want you to offer him there for a sacrifice. Search that chapter and see if he asks a question. He never asked one question. Now, Isaac did. Isaac did. He said, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Coming up the other side of the mountain. Amen. We've heard that before this week, haven't we? Coming up the other side of the mountain. But when God told him to do that, Bible said he saddled the ass, got Isaac wood, said, son, let's go. We're going up here. We're going to go 3 days' journey. My servants remain down here. We'll be back in 3 days. We'll be back in 3 days. Remember that? But now I'll tell you, that was not the end of that practice. Because one day, several thousand years later, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And there Isaac became a perfect type of the Son of God who, Jesus made this statement himself. He said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. And they got up some stones, getting ready to stone Jesus, and said, well, you're not even 50 years old yet. How could Abraham see your day? And they really got ready to stone him when he made this statement. Well, I want to tell you something. Before Abraham was, this is in John chapter 8. Before Abraham was, I am. Amen. He didn't stagger. He didn't stumble. He didn't lose his balance. Never ask a question. And one day, heading up Calvary's mountain, had the only question that the Son of God ever asked was basically the same reference to what Isaac did when he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to tell you what, when Isaac laid down on that altar and he raised the knife, Isaac knew that Abraham, his father, was not even going to spare his life. And he laid there and submitted to the will of God. And in essence, the only one that turned his back upon Isaac was his own father. And the only one that God's son ever questioned was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Abraham didn't stagger. See, a lot of us are staggering around here. Everything God wants us to do, we question it. We lose our balance. Amen. Who was that preacher here that his dad went to church and somebody called on him to pray the first service? Who preached that? Yeah. Who? Oh, Knopf Singer preached that. A preacher ought to have enough sense not to ask a visitor like that to lead in prayer. I don't even call on people to come to church to lead in prayer unless I ask them if they will. You need to learn a little sense that we do sometimes. But Abraham didn't stagger. Now let me just say, and I'm going to give you this one point and then I'll be done. He didn't stagger at an unseen person. I believe when Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus, he knew what it was about. Because Hebrews said he had the gospel preached to him. He received his son back in a figure. And that figure was the Son of God. And you know, let me just say this, that sometimes when you can't see things, that's when you stagger. I told our church the other night, Steve Allen was over there one time, and I took him out to eat, and I took him back to the motel, and I went back to pick him up about dark. And his motel room had no lights on. And so I walked in, the first thing I did, I hit the bed rail and just skipped my knee all up and down through there. And I said, Steve, why ain't you got the lights on? He said, I don't need them. It wasn't him staggering, it was me. He knew where it was. And he made fun of me. Here, you got two eyes, you can't see where you're going. I'm blind, I can live in the dark. And made fun of me, but I couldn't see where I was going. And a lot of times God calls upon you to do things that you don't know the outcome. And you can't see the end. And you don't know all the time what's going on. But remember, Brother Richardson went over this so fully the other morning. Whenever God calls you to do something, it's not about you. It's about Him. Everything that God told Abraham was about Him. And you know, this living for God's not about us. I just assumed nobody knew my name. But if they know His name, I saw where Sam Jones was holding a meeting in New York. I was reading that book on that, and it went about 3 weeks and nothing was going on. And he walked down the street one day and he saw a road sign, big, huge road sign, said, come hear the great Sam Jones preach. And it grieved his spirit. And he went to that meeting that night and said, I'd like for you to go around and tear all these signs down. This is not about the great Sam Jones. This is about a great Jesus. Amen. And they got those signs tore down, and all of a sudden God started moving. The thing went on for over 3 months. Souls being saved. It's about Him. Quit staggering over stuff. Quit stumbling. Quit losing your balance over something that God's in. Oh, I want to tell you, if God speaks to your heart, listen to that. If I tell people, you know, we have to shove people to the altar. You ever notice that? It's almost like we're trying to pull a tooth out and they're reluctant to get it pulled out. I tell our folks, now they don't practice it a whole lot, a lot of them don't, but I said if you feel the slightest inclination to find a place around an old altar, find it. Because a little bit of obedience leads to more. A little bit of disobedience will lead to more. A little bit of light, God will give you more. Rejected light, you'll get in a darker spot in your life. Don't stumble at things like that. We're getting ready to have a revival, and this is a shame to everybody in here and in my church. The first people at the altars will be people that I think are really serving God. And on the outskirts are people that's never visited an altar. And I'm thinking, boy, I wonder why they're down there, not them. And I believe this is a reason. When people are right with God, and they're trying to stay right with God, they see more of their blemishes. Because when you get in light, you see more of your flaws. I can't see that scar right there in the dark. A lot of people think my wife kissed me right there. That's a scar. That's not lipstick. But when I get up looking into the mirror, it sticks out. You can't see my old crooked finger back yonder in the back. But if you'll get up here close to me, you see how crooked it is. Because the closer you get to God, I believe those are the people that see themselves as the worst. And don't get mad at that. If you get mad at that, you ought to get out of your seat right now and come and ask God to help you get over getting mad. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been pastoring for several years, and I know what I'm talking about. It's that Sunday school teacher be at the altar first. Many a time I've seen the piano player get off the bench and come down to the altar weeping. There every Sunday. Anybody hearing what I'm preaching? Yeah. And those others back there that need it the worst are saying, man, I wonder what they've done. And they're using themselves as the measuring stick. You're going to stumble. You're going to lose your balance. Wouldn't surprise me somewhere down the road, you'll be out of church. Brother Dean, I told Dr. Dixon today, Brother Woosley, I believe any pastor here can almost tell you this, that when somebody comes for marriage counseling, it's normally always too late. Because they've already got their heart set. And you get trying to say, well, what, and they start blaming each other. And before long, they're not wanting Bible. They're wanting somebody to take their side. And 9 times out of 10, you can't help much. I've never been too good at marriage counseling because most of them already gone. I remember one year I had 4 couples. And this years ago, I was counseling, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and it dawned on me every single one of them was a spiritual problem.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With one of them or both of them.
Right.
And they stumbled. Don't lose your balance. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Was persuaded that what God had promised, he wasn't going to trip over. Amen. Now, let me ask you to do this. Some of you ain't been to the altar for years. Ask yourself why. Now, the altar can't change you unless your heart's in it. I understand that. Why is it? Why is it you don't go there? And I believe I've got the answer down deep inside. You think that you don't need it as bad as others. I've been sitting on the front row and think of somebody that's lost. And directly I'll find myself down at the altar praying for them. I got reasons to go. I got a church that I'm going to give an account of one of these days before God. I'm watching over souls as one that must give an account. Amen. I got plenty of reasons to pray. Amen. I won't stand here tonight. I'm done, Brother Richardson.